The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Thank you, Brother Luke. Appreciate all that's gone before today, the beautiful singing. And thank you so much for taking care of us yesterday with the food and all the kindness that you've shown to us over the years, and especially this weekend. And I appreciate what Brother Luke said about the Primitive Baptist sometimes being a little loud and a little bit emotional. As I get older, I find myself a little more, maybe not so loud, but certainly a little more emotional. So what he said brought some tears in my eyes. I think about our Savior and how he loved us. And how he was kind enough, of course, not only to let us know about what he did, but to give us the opportunity while we walk through this little inch of time. To serve him.
Amen.
Not that we can ever pay him back.
Right.
Because we can't.
That's right.
But we can show him how much we appreciate it.
Amen.
With what little understanding we have, we can look up at the God of the universe who spoke all this into existence. And I can say, Lord, thank you. Just let me show me how to love you a little.
Amen.
Show me how to give something back. But Luke said he didn't sleep well last night. I didn't sleep well either. I was sitting there at 2 or 3 in the morning. I don't know what time it was. And I'm just pondering things in my mind, and I felt like I was in a hole. You know, of course, you know what you're supposed to do when you find yourself in a hole, right? Quit digging.
Right?
That's what we read in the little children's, some sort of lesson this week that Amy pulled up. That's what we're teaching our children at home, by the way. Homeschooling, teaching them to quit digging when they find themselves in a hole. I said, well, you know, the kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of men. If in the kingdom of men I find myself in a hole, I quit digging. Maybe in the kingdom of God, I just need to keep digging until I get to the other side. So eventually the Lord gave me a little rest, and I feel like he laid this on my heart. I think it goes along somewhat with what Brother Luke was saying. And I ask you to direct your attention, please, to Luke chapter 13. You know, I had the blessing and privilege to try to preach to you yesterday and to talk to you about the ark and how the ark is a picture of the church, how Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then through the faith that God had given him when he was born again, he was obeyed God, built an ark, went into the ark, and his family was saved by the water. The like figure whereunto baptism doth now save us, as Brother Luke said. You want to be saved from a lot of stuff in this life? Come through the door of the ark. Come into the church.
Amen.
Be baptized.
Right.
It doesn't save you for heaven.
Right.
But it sure saves you from a lot of mess here.
That's right, brother.
Now we read in Luke chapter 13 and verse 22 about another type of what we'd call a timely salvation. I know maybe not everybody here grew up Primitive Baptist. I didn't. I understand, having studied the Word of God the last few years under the direction of some of these other elders, that the Word of God directs us toward not just an eternal salvation, but also tells us about the things God wants to save us from right here in this life.
Amen.
Right? We know that we're saved for heaven. Solely by the grace of God.
Right.
Brother said this morning, because we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We were redeemed by Jesus Christ on the cross, and he sent his Spirit to us here in time.
Right.
Our eternal salvation and our home in heaven is wrapped up in that, and you can't do anything to obtain that for yourself.
Right.
Indeed, you had no mind to.
Amen.
Before you were born again by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But then God gave us his word, not just to tell us about what he had already done in that sense, but to save us from some things here.
That's right.
Now we're about to read a passage of scripture that directs us toward this, what we call a timely salvation.
Yes.
Not eternal, but timely. The Lord wants to save us from some things here. Now when you're reading through the Bible, and you're trying to figure out, okay, I just read about being saved from something. Is that talking about heaven, or is that talking about a timely salvation here now? There's a couple of questions you could ask yourself in regards to that passage of Scripture to try to get the right answer.
Right.
One thing you could ask yourself is this. If the passage of Scripture talks about just a few people being saved, that's not heaven.
Amen. That's right.
Because there's going to be a multitude in heaven no man can number, according to the book of Revelation. Out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, they're going to be singing a song to him. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood.
Oh, yes.
And there's going to be a multitude of folks there that no man can number. So heaven is not populated by a small handful.
Amen.
There are folks out there out today, I'm quite sure, in the Zion community that are not here in church worshiping with us, but that are no doubt children of God, and we will worship with them in eternity.
Amen.
If you read the scripture about just a few being saved from something, that's usually talking about some sort of a timely event.
That's right.
Something you're being saved from in this life. Because, as you all know, this church is quite full today. Thank God for that. But not everybody in Zion is here.
Right.
Not everybody at Zion is at the church up the road or down the street.
Right.
There's some empty pews in the churches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not all of God's children are in church. They're not all going to be saved from things in this life. They're going to be saved for heaven. The second question you can ask yourself is, if this passage of Scripture is telling me to do something to get this salvation,
right,
then that's not talking about heaven.
Amen.
Because
right,
heaven is wrapped up in the work of your Savior.
Amen.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right, three in one, saved you for heaven and given you hope in your heart.
Amen.
To believe it.
Amen.
So this passage of Scripture right here talks about a few people.
Yeah.
That get saved or go in, and it tells you to do something. So this is a timely passage of Scripture. Reading in verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying together toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Straight means narrow. Strive to enter in. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. If someone has a hope in their heart for heaven and a desire for heaven, and a desire to love the Lord, that person's saved forever.
Amen.
But now the Lord wants them to be saved from some things here. He wants right, them to enter into His kingdom.
Yes.
And enjoy the blessings of the yeah, kingdom of God, the visible kingdom here.
That's right.
The kingdom of God is certainly in heaven. That is true. There's no question about that. Jesus sits today victorious, having by Himself purged our sins, and sits on the right hand of the Majesty on high, interceding for us daily when we're asleep, and right, or when we can't sleep in the middle of the night. He's right, still there interceding.
Amen.
That is the kingdom of God. But this is the kingdom of God too.
Amen.
This is the visible kingdom
yes,
of God.
Right.
And He wants us to enter into that. And not every child of God does that.
Right.
Not every child of God is blessed to hear about it or to see it or to appreciate it.
Yeah.
He says you should strive to enter into that, because some will want to enter in and not be able. You say, well, how is that possible? Someone wants to enter into the church. What can keep them from the church? Lots of things could keep them from the church.
That's right.
There are people in jail today who are children of God that cannot physically get here to
right,
the church.
Right. Right.
They can't walk through the back doors and worship today here in the visible kingdom with us. Why? Because they've broken God's law, as the brother told us, and they're locked up somewhere.
That's right.
Now, they can enjoy some aspect of it. They can pray in their heart and perhaps, you know, hum a tune there in the jail cell.
Right.
But sometimes people do things that separate them from fellowship.
Yes.
He says, when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Or in my vernacular, he might say, I don't know where you're coming from.
Right.
He knows them. He knows everything. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And he's specifically speaking here to the Jews. Because, of course, he came and he walked and talked in their streets, right, and the majority of them rejected him.
Right.
And they reaped a horrible judgment on their nation as a result of that.
Right.
But this is application to us too. In verse 27 he says, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. You say, are there children of God that have done that, that are workers of iniquity?
Yes, there are.
Yes, there are. I'm a worker of iniquity.
Amen.
I am in the visible kingdom of God, standing before you today by the grace of the Lord God Almighty. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I just came that close to missing it.
Amen.
Brother Chris and I were talking last night. He said, Brother Neil, I'm glad I came to the Old Baptist Church. And I got to fellowship with the Old Baptist while my children were still young enough to learn to appreciate it.
Amen.
He said, I could have missed that.
That's right.
They might not be here today. If the Lord hadn't brought me by it and showed it to me, and I hadn't grabbed a hold of it. And I said, brother, that's exactly the way I feel.
Yeah,
you know, but he was merciful to us.
Mm.
Verse 28, he said, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The Lord is talking here, of course, to these Jews, and he's letting them know something. I have a kingdom for you that I am bringing to you now.
Right.
You children of God that are blessed and born again to be able to see it and to receive it. I have something I want you to enjoy in this life. I want you to enjoy fellowship. I want you to obey my right, commandments. I want you to be saved from all the horror and wretchedness of this world
right,
and all the things that can drag you down and can annihilate your marriage and your relationship with your kids
yeah,
and your relationship with other people. I want to save you from that stuff.
Right.
And I want you to strive to listen to me and to press into that.
Right.
And he said, you're going to look perhaps someday back and say, well, our fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they were part of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And he was here among us. The king was here and we missed it.
Mm.
And I wonder, in AD 70, when the Romans were at the gate of Jerusalem and they were battering down the walls and they were butchering people, If some of those Jews look back, perhaps some of them were alive at this very time.
Yeah.
Very likely some of them were, and they thought, "Who?
Yeah.
We did miss it.
Yeah.
Should have listened to that man. We don't want to be like that."
Right.
But I would like to if you would bear with me today, to take you back just real briefly and look at the lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and see how they sat down in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the gospel message exactly like we have it. They didn't understand what Jesus Christ would do for them in time, that He would come and redeem them. They didn't understand that exactly the way we do. And yet they understood enough about God to press into His kingdom.
Yes.
Thousands of years before He came, physically. So turn back with me to Genesis. And I'm going to have to skim through some verses of Scripture, and I wrote some down because I could not preach to you in just a few minutes about the lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so I'm skimming the surface, but I advise you, this is some good stuff to study. We know that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob not only were children of God, but they enjoyed in their time the blessings of God. They were like Noah. They were born again children of God that made mistakes and that sinned and that fell short many times. And yet, when the critical moment came, they obeyed God and they did what He told them to do. And Jesus says, "You Jews, look back at them. You're rejecting Me. You don't want to hear what I have to say. Look back at your ancestors. See how they lived and acted. And learn something from them." In Genesis chapter 12, we read this in regards to Abraham. Now, you all have heard of Abraham, I know.
Yeah.
Abraham had a lot of ups and downs in his life. But when the time came to listen and obey, listen, Brother Abraham did it. And it wasn't always easy for him. We read here in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 this: "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you thee." Now, God doesn't follow that up. "And by the way, the land is so-and-so, and it's this many miles away, and here's what you're going to get when you get there."
Right.
He just says, "Get up and go."
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, that would be hard to do. But as we read on, we find out why it was probably really hard for Abraham to do. He's called Abram at this time. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that curse thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now he follows up verse 2 there, right behind a colon after "thee." In the sense he's saying this: you do this, and I will bless you.
Yeah.
Now I believe with all my heart that the Lord knew what Abraham would do before He commanded him, before He told him what to do. He knew what he would do.
Sure.
But Abraham didn't have to do that.
Amen.
Abraham could have said, "Lord, I'm old." Now we'll read on here in verse 4. "So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." 75 now. Now they lived a little longer back then. But he wasn't no spring chicken. All right? This is not like you got an 18-year-old and they're sitting there filling out college applications and they feel in their heart the Lord's saying, "Go here, not there." He's 75. He's retirement age. He's worked his whole life. He's built up flocks and herds and he lives amongst his family and everything he knows. And God says, "Get up and go somewhere I'm going to show you." Can you imagine what his poor wife probably thought? "Are you nuts, Abraham? Come on. Now this is our home. We're comfortable here."
That's right.
God says, "Go and I will bless you." What did Abraham do? Brothers and sisters, he went.
Amen.
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 I had a precious friend a few years ago about this same age. And we would sit and talk about the kingdom of God. Sometimes outdoors. And he was at a certain church, and I would never mention what affiliation it was or anything like that. But he told me about all the problems they had and how it grieved his heart to see certain things. And he would sometimes come and visit with the Primitive Baptist. And I said, "Well, brother, you could just come in with us." And I'm not trying to glorify the Primitive Baptist as a denomination.
Right.
But I believe with all my heart that we're teaching the true doctrine and the true practice.
Amen.
Or I would be somewhere where I thought they were.
That's right.
But I've been to almost every church out there. I said, "Brother, come over with us." He just couldn't bear to do it.
Mm.
And I believe he died with a grief in his heart.
Amen.
For what he saw going on where he worshipped. It grieved him. He couldn't break away. I've known some other people in this similar age of life who, when the Lord gave them a little light and said, "Come over here," they got up and went. And I believe the Lord blessed them to see His kingdom in there.
Amen.
Moving over to chapter 18 And we read something else about Brother Abram. Find out a little more about his attitude. Between verses, chapters 12 and 18, he went through a lot of things, a lot of hardship, fought some battles. Learned some things out there in the desert. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Why is he sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day? Probably because it's shady there.
Yeah.
Abraham's now about 99. He's retired, if you want to use that kind of vernacular.
Yeah.
He's retirement age. You read a few chapters earlier that when he had to go rescue Lot, he had 318 trained male servants in his household who could bear the sword. Abraham was captain over his own army. He was a nation unto himself. How many women servants did he have? And how many flocks and herds? I mean, good grief. When they went somewhere, it was probably like the entire population of Pickens County getting up and moving, you know, south a few miles. I mean, he's a king, really. And he's sitting there in the heat of the day. You'll find out in a minute, he's 90, or you find out in chapter 4, he's at least 99 years old at this time.
Yeah.
And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. Listen, when Abraham saw the Lord through eyes of faith, he didn't sit back there in the shade and say, I'm 99,
right.
I'm retired. Some of you servants go out there and bring him into me, and I'll have some sort of a conference here with you. No, brothers and sisters, he got up and he went.
Amen.
Now, if you see the Lord today in your life, if you see a vision of what your spiritual journey could be like in the kingdom of God, if you lift up your eyes and through eyes of faith, you see your Lord out on the plain, just get up out of the tent.
Amen.
You know, that might not be running toward the Lord physically. I've never physically seen him. Yeah. This man was enjoying the fruits of a life of labor in the tent and in the shade. And I know some of you older people are probably at a point in life where that's you now.
Right.
The Lord may not ask you to get up and run out in the middle of the heated day and have a heat stroke. You know what he might ask you to do? Get up out in front of the television.
Right.
Yeah.
And go talk to your grandchildren.
That's right. Yeah.
Read to them something about old Abraham.
Yes.
Read to them about Isaac and about Jacob. Tell them about your journey. Tell them about what God has done for you. Tell them about how God rescued you and lifted you up, and give them a vision for the future.
Yeah.
You might be old. You might be retired. You might be whatever. But when you see the duty of the Lord, get up and go.
Amen.
Sometimes it's just walking across the room. Sometimes it's picking up the phone.
Right.
Maybe calling your grandkid that's off at college or something like that. Or sitting down with your son or daughter and saying, listen, I just want you to know how I feel about the Lord.
Amen.
We talk to them about financial matters. We try to help them out when they're in trouble. We try to tell them, hey, take this job. Don't take this one. Tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
He ran to meet them at the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet. And rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye in your hearts after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And what did Abraham do again? Did he call in all of his hundreds of servants? No, let me tell you what he wanted to do. He wanted to serve the Lord himself.
Amen.
I'm not going to leave it to somebody else.
Right.
I'm not going to leave the training of my children to the preacher.
Right.
I'm going to get up and do it myself.
Amen.
I'm not going to leave the training of my grandchildren to the preacher. I'm not going to count on 1 hour a week at church to straighten them out and show them the straight and narrow and help them to strive to enter in. I'm going to get up and do it.
Amen.
So Abraham gets up, and what does he do? He says to his wife. Now again, she's got servants. She doesn't have to cook. Good grief. But he says to her, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal kneaded and make cakes upon the hearth. Maybe you hadn't cooked in a long time, woman. I want you to go in there and make something for the Lord. All right? Maybe you've been relaxed for 25 years. But it's time to serve Him. Get out the cookbook. Get the flour. Get the oil. The Lord is here.
Amen.
Let's anoint Him. Let's serve Him.
Yes.
And Abraham ran into the herd. Abraham wasn't out there tending the herd, was he? He's sitting in the tent in the shade. But when the Lord shows up, what does he do? Get the sandals on and get the knife.
That's right, bro.
The Lord's here. I'm going to work His work.
Amen.
And he fetched a calf tender and good. When I read this word this morning, Brother Mason, I thought about you. Boy, if they'd asked you to spell that one yesterday, could you have spelled fetched? F-E-T-C-H-T? You probably could, brother. But I couldn't. He fetched it. What did he do? He gave it to a young man and hastened to dress it. He goes out there and picks one out himself. He wanted the best for his
Lord. Right.
God wants the best of your time.
Amen.
He wants the best of your money. He wants the best of whatever you got. I wouldn't say that it's wrong to spend the declining years of your age if you're at that point in life, enjoying some of the things that you've earned and enjoying some of the things of life. But don't spend your life, adults, and God help me, let's don't spend our lives trying to accumulate a bunch of stuff to leave to somebody to fight over someday.
Right.
Let's give them something of us right now.
Amen.
Hasten to the herd, kill the fatted calf.
Yes.
And he turns it over to his servant to dress it. Why does he do that? Because he's going on to the next job.
Right.
And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And then what does he do? Does he sit down, "Oh Lord, old buddy, old pal, I'm glad you finally came to see me. It's about time."
No,
sir. Look at how Brother Abraham viewed the service of the Lord. What did he do? And he stood by them under the tree and they did eat.
That's right.
It wasn't enough for Abraham to go out and kill the fatty calf. It wasn't enough for Sarah to make him some cakes. It wasn't enough for them to get water to wash their feet. Abraham's standing right there. What else can I do for you?
Amen.
What else can I do? Having done all to stand, what else can I do? How else can I serve? Show me, Lord, and I'll do it.
Amen.
You'll find rest in that.
Amen.
Paul talks about that in Hebrews chapter 4. You labor to enter into that rest. How do you labor to enter into rest? Labor to understand the doctrine of God. If you understand that He's already wrapped up your home in heaven, you can rest.
Yeah.
If you understand that I'm not out here trying to beat myself to death to leave an empire on earth because it's all going to burn up, you can rest and you can enjoy your family and you can enjoy the kingdom of God and you can take off on a Saturday and come to church.
Amen.
You can rest in it. You can rest in laboring for Him. And if you're a child of God and you love Him, you won't rest in this life if you're not laboring for Him in some way.
That's right.
You really won't. It's hard to find rest in this world. Sake of time, let's move on to Isaac. See how Brother Isaac served the Lord. He sat down in the kingdom of God too, remember? Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 24. I'm going to skim through this. I recommend it for your reading, especially you young people who might be on the verge of trying to find a spouse. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. I thought he was old back in chapter 18, but he's real old now. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham says to his eldest servant, "Listen, I want you to go find a wife for my son. God gave me the child a promise. He's going to make a great nation of me. He needs a good wife. I want you to go back to our homeland. I want you to find him a wife, but I don't want you to take him back there. He doesn't need to go back. You go find him a wife." Now, you don't really read about Isaac having a lot of opinion about that, do you? Why? Because there's another key to sitting down in the kingdom of God. You obey, as the brother exhorted us. I don't have an opinion about whether God says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not covet." You know what? I don't get to answer back to God and say, "Well, I don't like that last one very much. I'm just supposed to do it. I'm just supposed to obey." And we find out in Isaac that apparently he was an obedient son. Because after Eliezer, I assume it was Eliezer, the old servant, goes back to the homeland and finds this girl. You read about it in verse 16. "And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up." Abraham sends his servant to get a bride for his son. But he knows the servant is wise. He's old. He's been around. He's seen the world. He's traveled through many lands. He's been faithful. He's handled all of Abraham's vast wealth and apparently done it faithfully. And Abraham's too old to go himself. And you know what I think Abraham's thinking? "My old servant there's got better judgment than my son does. My son might just go back and find one that's good looking. But that old servant's going to look beyond that." Now, she was beautiful to look upon. She kept herself pure. She was a virgin. That's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. And what is she doing? She's out here drawing water. And she's serving.
Yeah.
And she said in verse 18, "Drink, my Lord." And let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And then she watered all his camels.
Yeah.
Here's a servant. In verse 21, "The man wondering heard, held his peace, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not." And you can read on through there how Rebekah submitted to go. And her family said in verse 51, "Behold, Rebekah is before thee, take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife as the Lord has spoken." And read something very telling over here in verse 67. Does Isaac look over and say, "I guess you'll do. Lord, I guess your commandments will do. I guess I'll follow along because I think they're all right. Mm-hmm. No, Isaac wasn't like that.
Right.
Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her.
Amen.
I don't think he loved her because of her looks, because when he took her into the tent, he hadn't seen her, really.
Right.
When she met him, she put her veil on.
Right.
Tells you something about godly love, too, young people.
Amen.
Looks are not bad. I have a beautiful wife. But she's a lot more beautiful inside.
Amen.
And that's what you're looking for.
Praise.
That's right. I wish I could see the inside of things before I saw the outside sometimes.
Yes,
pray that God would help you do that. If you're looking for a spouse, pray, God, let me see her heart.
Amen.
Let me see his mind before I even really notice how long his nose is. Or how big his muscles are. I'm serious. Really, I know it's kind of humorous. I'll laugh along with you. But I'm serious, really, really.
Amen.
Look at that.
That's right.
And when God sends you one, and don't sit there and look him over. Well, I wish he made a little more money. Maybe he doesn't make as much money because he's spending his Saturdays in the service of the Lord.
Amen.
Right?
Praise God.
Maybe she's not as much beautiful because she spends more time helping her old grandmother than fixing her hair. I mean, you got to think outside the box, right?
That's right. That's right.
Isaac was.
Amen.
He said, I trust my father. He'll get me a good wife.
Yes, right.
And whatever he gets, I'll love her.
Hmm.
Turn with me over to chapter 26, moving along. Again, I know we're getting short on the time here, but I want to point out a couple more things about Isaac. He was obedient. And there was a famine in chapter 26. And the Lord said in verse 2, "Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of." We are blessed today here in this church and churches around us to not be in any kind of a famine. Are we not?
Amen.
I mean, we're blessed spiritually.
Amen.
With showers of blessings.
Amen.
They just overwhelm me sometimes.
Yes.
I think that's when we cry, Brother Luke.
Amen.
We're so overwhelmed, it's just got to come out somewhere.
Right.
So we shout, Amen!
Amen.
Or we cry a little bit.
Right.
Sometimes there might be famine, though. I'm telling you, if you live long enough, you're going to go through some periods of famine in your life.
Right.
When you come to famine, don't go down to Egypt.
Amen.
Young people, don't
Amen.
Go back.
Amen.
Don't go down. Look for the Lord to give you a place to sojourn in the midst of your famine.
Amen.
Egypt's always bad in the
Amen.
Bible. Well, pretty much.
Yeah, right.
You know, Egypt's a place of sin.
Right.
It's a place of ease and plenty and pleasures of the flesh. When you feel a famine in your soul, or you may even feel a famine in the church someday, don't run off to Egypt
Amen.
To fill up. Ask the Lord where He wants you to go.
Amen.
And the Lord says, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee." Move on to verse 6. "And Isaac dwelt in Gerar." I said, "Yes, sir, Lord. You gave me a wife. I was obedient to my parents. She's a good woman. I trusted you in that. I'm in a famine right now. We're going to starve to death. My flocks and herds will die. You tell me to stay here, I'll stay. I won't go down to Egypt."
Amen.
And what happened? Verse 12. "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him."
Amen.
God can bless you wherever He puts you.
Amen.
You might be over there in Canaan and things dry up. And you're looking down there at Egypt. Oh, it looks good down there. The Nile River flows through and floods every year, and they're growing crops like crazy. Let me go down there and try it out.
Mm.
And you wind up like Lot did
That's
in Sodom.
Right. That's right.
If the Lord says, you go dwell in the mountains of Gerar or wherever it is, you go dwell there and you put your seed there and you water your flocks and your herds and your little family there and you pray, and I believe He will bless it.
Amen.
He may not bless exactly the way you thought He would, but He'll
right.
bless it.
That's right.
Isaac sat down in the kingdom of God. He found his wife in the kingdom of God. He sat down in the kingdom of God in Gerar, wherever that was, somewhere in the land of the Philistines. And then we read about, of course, Jacob. We'll be real brief on Jacob. Now, you could preach a long time about the life of Jacob, and I'm sure many of you know about Jacob. Jacob, of course, was a deceiver. He deceived his father. He was not faithful to his family in that sense. You know, he has to run off because Esau wants to kill him. And you see Jacob go through many things in his life. You see him go to the land of Laban, and he labors there. He thinks he's going to get Rachel. He labors for 7 years and gets Leah. Then they give him Rachel, and then he works another 7 years. But in the midst of all that, God loves Jacob. And God blesses Jacob. And God showed Jacob many spiritual things, even on his journey as he left his family. As he slept, he sleeps on a pillow, and he has this dream. And we're not going to go on that today, but essentially the Lord blessed him with some foreknowledge about good things to come, and the Lord gave him hope, and he sets up the stone. And he says, I'm gonna serve you. And I don't think Jacob understood really when he had to leave his family and he was dealing with all the consequences of his sin and his deception, and he's sleeping out in the wilderness in the middle of the night and yet God's watching over him. He probably didn't understand at that point that a lot of what I'm dealing with right now is my own fault. And yet God is with me anyway. But I believe by the time we get to chapter 32, Jacob understood some more things about the Lord. And Jacob has now been told by the Lord to leave there where his uncle Laban lives and come down back to his homeland, come back to Esau's area. And so Jacob is journeying there, and he's got these vast flocks and herd that the Lord's blessed him with. He's got his two wives and his two handmaids, and he's got his 11 sons, and he's got all of these servants. And I mean, again, he's sort of like Abraham, you know, he's like a county moving somewhere. Can you imagine what it would be like today? Everybody got their stuff in a pickup truck, you know, and you're a cattle trailer behind them. It'd be sort of like that. You know, what in the world is going on? And he's heading back to this homeland, and he knows that Esau wanted to kill him when he left. And it probably hadn't gotten any better in the time period intervening. Esau might kill me.
Yeah.
And he's struggling with these thoughts. And we read this in verse 22 of Genesis chapter 32. And he rose up that night. You ever rose up in the night? Brother Luke said he didn't sleep well last night. Listen, I have, because I've had to work some nights with stress and things on me. I have rose up in the middle of the night and cried tears that I think, and it's not about me. But I say that because I know some of you probably have too. You probably rose up at night and worried about things.
Yeah.
You probably worried about your family. You probably worried about your job. You probably worried about your eternal security in Christ, which you don't need to worry about anymore.
Right.
That's what Brother Luke told us this morning.
Amen.
You worry about things. You rise up at night. And he took his two wives and his two women servants, his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved."
Mm.
Who did he wrestle with? I think he wrestled with the same person.
Yes.
That Abraham saw on the plains of Mamre.
Yes.
I think he wrestled with the Lord.
Amen, brother.
And he sat down in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
He pressed between the straight gate into service through great hardship, through great trial, through great toil. You know, the Lord told us in John chapter 10, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them," and he said, "they follow me."
That's right.
He said, "and neither shall they perish." He said, "the Lord, my Father, gave them to me. No man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And in an eternal sense, you are in the hand of God.
Right.
And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, nobody can take you out.
Amen.
There is nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's no height, no depth, no creature, no demon. There's nothing that's happened in the past. There's nothing happening in the present. There's nothing happening in the future that's going to separate you from the love of God. You are in His hand.
Yes.
But I tell you, part of sitting down in the kingdom of God is understanding, okay, I am in His hand for eternity. But I want to hold His hand right now myself.
Yes.
I want to hold Him. I want to hold on to Him. I want to grasp Him. And I don't want to let Him go. There have been times when my children and I are walking around in our yard and behind our house, some of the little ones, and I'll reach down and hold their hand. But I've done this to them. I wasn't wrong. I felt, you know, their hand is just limp as a dish rag. I can tell they don't want to hold my hand. Now, I've got them, but they're wanting to go play. They're wanting to go dig around in the pond. They're wanting to do something else. And I'm wanting to communicate with them and commune with them. And I feel that hand limp, and I look down at them, and I say, "Hold my hand." And they know what I mean. I've done it with the little girls, I know, several times. They know what I mean is this. I'm already holding your hand. Now you open up your hand and wrap it around mine.
Amen.
I want to feel that you want to feel me.
Amen.
It's not enough for me to know that I've got you. I want to know that you understand it. And I want to know that you reciprocate that. And I want to know that even though I've got you, and if you fell down a ditch right now, I'm going to pull you up. I want to know you feel the pressure of my hand. I want to know you feel the power of my arm. I want you to look at me and call out, Abba, Father.
Hey.
Now, if you've done that, or you feel a desire to do that, it's only because you're His Son.
Right.
We call out Father because He sent His Spirit into our hearts. And why did He send His Spirit into our hearts? According to Galatians chapter 4, I believe one of the brothers quoted yesterday, because you're sons.
Right.
So what did Jacob do? He's there wrestling with the Lord in the middle of the night. The Lord's got him. Let me tell you, if the Lord had wanted to smash Jacob into an atom, all He had to do is say, and he's a goner.
That's right.
But Jacob's holding on. Brother Tim brought to my attention, our pastor, Brother Tim, some time ago, when we sing that song, Sweet Rivers, and it says, I hold my Savior in my arms and I will not let Him go. He said, you know, Brother Neil, that's referring to Jacob, you know, struggling with the Lord in the night and not letting go of Him. And I said, you know, Brother Tim, I did not realize that. Somehow I missed that all these years. But it's a beautiful picture of how we handle the Lord, is it not? He's holding me eternally. But let me tell you, there's a blessing. If I reach out my arms right now, and I wrap them around Him and I say, Lord, I love You so much. I will not let You go. I will love You. I will keep Your commandments. I will serve You. I will walk with You. I see in here in the passage of Scripture we looked at the last few days that Noah walked with God. I see that Abraham fell down at His feet. I see that Jacob held on. I see that Isaac obeyed in humility. And he says, whatever You want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. You tell me to go dwell over there, I'll just stay there. You tell me to marry that girl because she's the girl for me, I'll just do it. And you know what they did? In that labor, in that trust, in that obedience, in that walking with God, in that falling down before Him, you know what they did? They sat down and rested in the kingdom of God.
Amen. That's right.
Have you longed to rest?
Yes.
Have you longed to feel peace in your heart?
Oh, yeah.
Have you longed to sit on a pew and cry tears of joy when someone tells you again about your Savior? Let me tell you, you can. Amen. If you've had the longing, it's because the Lord has come to you and given you a new heart, a clean heart, a clean vessel, and has put His Spirit within you. And brothers and sisters, you can enjoy the same thing today that Abraham enjoyed.
Yes.
How many, 3,500 years ago? You can enjoy the same thing Jacob enjoyed. You can enjoy the same thing Isaac enjoyed. You can, when you rise up in the night and you are before Jabbok and you know your throat's fixing to be cut possibly by your own brother, you know what you can do? You can hold Him in your arms.
Amen.
And you can say, Lord, I'm going to hold You tonight. Because I don't know what's facing me tomorrow. But I'll hold on to You tonight and I will not let go. I will press into Your kingdom. I will love You. I will serve You. I will give of myself. I'll give my family. I'll give whatever money I have, I'll give whatever time I have, and I'll give it to Your service. You can do that today. If you've never done that before,
amen.
Brother Chris, I know, is going to stand up in a minute, sing a song, and say, listen, if you've ever wanted to serve the Lord and join the church, the doors of the church are open today. Let me tell you, the doors of the straight gate are there.
Amen.
You're His for eternity. Hold His hand right now.
Amen.
If you're scared to walk down that aisle, open your eyes by faith. And see your Master standing beside you and taking your hand.
Amen.
He'll bring you all the way.
Amen.
I love you. Thank you for your time.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.